Luke chapter 16 in your Bible this morning. If you'll find the New Testament books of Matthew, Mark, and then Luke is the third gospel. Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to read for our text today verses 19 through 23. Verses 19 through 23. So find that passage, Luke 16, verses 19 through 23. We'll read this, have prayer, and then we'll have a special before the message this morning. All right, let's stand, please, in honor of God's good word. And if you would, as always, please join me on the even-numbered verses. We'll read responsively here, verses 19 through 23 of Luke 16. And the Bible says, these are the words of Jesus speaking. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I pray that you'll please bless the message to our hearts this morning. And Lord, I pray for anybody here who is uncertain of their eternal destiny. I pray that your Spirit will arrest their attention. Lord, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the saving grace of Jesus. I thank you for the shed blood that saves us from the awful place called hell. And Lord, a lot of people would deny its reality, but it is in your book over and over again. I pray that you'll speak to us in a special way this morning. Bless the singer, the song, and the message to follow. It's all yours, dear Lord. I give it to you and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. That's right. Praise God. Amen for that. Without that, we'd be of all men most miserable, no doubt about it. Wonderful. I want to speak to you this morning on the torments of hell. We'll use this passage here, several verses in it I'm going to refer to, so keep your Bible open. I want you to see that what I'm going to say this morning is not my opinion. It's not doctrine found in somebody's textbook somewhere. What I'm going to say this morning was said by Jesus Christ, okay? And I want you to see that. I'm speaking on the torments of hell. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I thank you that Jesus didn't pray for mercy so we could have mercy. Thank you that He died so that we wouldn't have to. What a wonderful song to help us, Lord, avoid this awful place that we'll preach about this morning. Spirit of God, be in this service in great power. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name is my prayer made. Amen. I went to college over here in Crown Point at Hiles Anderson College. Thank God for that. I went during the years of 1976 to 1980. I feel like I was there during some of the best years of the school. I really believe that with all of my heart. I remember hearing Brother Hiles, who pastored the church there in Hammond, of course, I think for 40-something years. And powerful preacher Jack Hiles was one of those lightning rods of fundamental Baptist preachers, much like J. Frank Norris. You either loved him or you hated him. There was no middle ground with it. Either loved him or you hated him. And I'm talking about saved people and unsaved people both. I know saved people hated Jack Hiles. Lots of saved people hated J. Frank Norris too. Just a lightning rod. Powerful preacher. Did a great work. You can't deny that. Just tremendous influence. I remember him telling more than one occasion when I was there. He used to preach at the Bill Rice Ranch in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It was founded by his good friend, Dr. Bill Rice Sr., who of course is with the Lord now. And Kathy Rice. Did Kathy Rice pass away? Or she's still living. I haven't heard, but anyway. He used to preach down there every year at Founders Week. I think it was called Founders Week. And at Bill Rice Ranch, they may still have it. I don't know if they still have this or not, but they had a pancake cookout. On one of the mornings, you had to sign up for it. It wasn't a part of the regular camp activity, but you had to sign up for it and pay for it. And they would ride by horseback, single file, out in the back part of the ranch. And there they would have an outdoor cookout. They would cook pancakes and other items for breakfast. And being one of the guest speakers, of course, they were always invited to go and be a part of that pancake cookout. And Dr. House told how that he was riding the horse and they were single file, single double file, you know. And a rider on a horse came up beside him. And it was a pastor from a church whose kids were at the camp that week. And the pastor from this church in a distant state somewhere said, Dr. House, could I ask you a few questions? And he said, sure. He said, you're a strong preacher and you preach hard. Why do you do that? And Dr. House responded by saying, is there a hell? And the pastor said, well, you're so emphatic about this matter of soul winning and knocking doors and taking the gospel to people and bringing folks to church. You're so emphatic about that. Why are you like that, Dr. House? Responded, is there a hell? The man said, you run these buses all over Chicago and north in Indiana, and you spend a lot of money to bring these people in and put a big emphasis on it. Why do you do that? And Dr. Howells responded, is there a hell? He asked four or five questions. And Dr. Howells' response to every one of his questions was, is there a hell? Finally, I guess the man became frustrated and he just let the horse slow up and Dr. Howes went on with the others, and the man fell back in his place in line. And that was the end of the conversation. Is there a hell? The truth of the matter is, folks, there is a hell. And the word itself carries its own terror, doesn't it? I don't even like the word. It carries its own ugliness. You hear people use it in slang. It's hot as, or go to. Toss it around like it's not a real place, but the word itself carries its own terror. In Luke chapter 16, in our text here, Jesus tells a story about two real men who both lived on this earth and both of them died and they went to real places. One of the men went to Abraham's bosom, another name for heaven in this day. The other man went to hell. Let me say this morning, this is not a parable. A parable is a story or an illustration that Jesus used to shed light on some truth that He was teaching. Yes, there are a lot of parables in the Scriptures. In fact, verse number 1 of chapter 16 is a parable. But in this story here, beginning in verse number 19, this is not a parable. Parables never used the real names of people. We have a man's name used in this story, Lazarus. Lazarus was a poor man, a beggar, a sick man whose body was full of sores, the Bible says. The other man's name is not given, but he is wealthy, he lived accordingly. And while the rich man ate sumptuously every day, the Bible says that Lazarus waited for the leftovers, the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He waited for those, for them to throw the crumbs outside the back door and outside the back gate. That's what he ate. While the rich man had servants waiting on him and tending to his every need, Lazarus's company consisted of dogs that would come to lick his sores. And evidently, he was either too weak to fight them off or he allowed them. Maybe it felt good. They were so painful. Those dogs would lick his sores. The rich man slept in comfort underneath a sheet and a comforter and a soft bed. Lazarus slept on the street under the stars during all kinds of weather, be it inclement weather, be it good weather. That's where the poor man, the beggar Lazarus, slept. Quite a contrast of lifestyles. During life on earth, the rich man received good things, Jesus said. And Lazarus received evil things while they lived on this planet. But everything changed everything. Everything changed like that when each of them took their last breath. Everything changed. Verse number 22, the Bible says, Jesus telling this story, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. When the beggar, Lazarus, drew his last breath, the Bible says the angels met him and he was carried into Abraham's bosom. A place of peace and light. A place of comfort and joy. Jesus went on to say, the rich man also died and was buried. Nothing is said about being carried anywhere. Then the next three words, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. Now folks, listen to me carefully this morning. Do not be deceived. Do not discard this as some made up figment of somebody's imagination. These are the words of Jesus Christ. I would not gamble against Jesus Christ. I would not go against Jesus Christ. I would not think for a moment that He was joking or lying. He spoke truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth when He spoke. Everything changed for these two men as soon as they took their last breath. Everything. Everything changed for them. Jesus does not describe Abraham's bosom or heaven to us in this passage. We know that Abraham was there. We know that Lazarus was there. But we don't know anything else about Abraham's bosom, but Jesus does give us a clear picture of the awful place called hell. And it is obvious from these verses that this rich man was conscious in hell. Do you see that? He was conscious in hell. He was not in a coma. He was not in a state of unconsciousness or even a state of semi-consciousness. He wasn't in a dreamland. He was very much alert and very much aware of his surroundings. Now, if I was going to preach on all about hell that's described in this passage, I'd have more subject material than I have time for this morning. But I want you to see one word is used four times. Look at verse number 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Verse number 24, the end of the verse. For I am tormented. The last word of verse number 25, Abraham said to him, thou art tormented. And the last word of verse number 28, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now folks, when God repeats Himself in the Bible, it's not because He ran out of something to say. When God repeats Himself in the Bible, it's for sake of emphasis. He's emphasizing one thing here. Hell is a place of torment. 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 The rich man confessed it. I am tormented. Abraham witnessed it. Thou art tormented. Hell is a place of horrible, awful torment. Let me tell you three ways hell is a place of torment this morning. And we'll be done in just a little bit. Number one, I want you to see that this rich man was tormented physically. He was tormented physically. Verse number 24, he cried here and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hell is fire. Do you see the word flame? Hell is fire. Hell is hot. And the flames were tormenting this man. So much so that he asked not for a glass of water, not for a little cup of water. This man asked Abraham, could you send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water? I mean, how much water can I get on that fingertip, folk? That's not a whole lot. It hasn't even yet accumulated enough to drop off my fingertip. Allow him, Abraham, to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He was engulfed in flames, a fire excruciatingly hot, and yet a fire that did not consume him. That's a unique kind of fire. There is such a fire. Moses saw it out in the desert. He saw the bush on fire. Didn't really puzzle him because that happens oftentimes in the arid, dry climate of the Middle East, that sandy desert area. But when he looked over a half hour later and it was still burning, he looked back a half hour later and it was still burning, 15 minutes later, it was still burning. What did Moses say? He said, I got to go see this. He said, that thing is not consumed. And the bush continued to burn and continued to burn and continued to burn. And that's the bad thing about hell. It is a place of physical torment, a place of fire where you burn forever and ever and ever and ever. And the fire is never put out and the body is never consumed. You know, it would be one thing if a person was cast into hell and the fire excruciatingly hot consumed you. And if you ever think about that, you know, it's morbid, I know, but for sake of illustration, you think about those people on that, those poor folks on those planes that smashed into those towers. You know, they died an awful death, but folks, they were incinerated immediately. What did they say? Temperatures over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit? That jet fuel exploded? Okay? We're not talking about that kind of fire here in this place. This conversation between this man and Abraham went on for some time. He was in torments the whole time. Listen to me. Foolish people deny that hell is fire. Foolish people deny that hell is fire. Preachers who deny that hell is fire are the worst kind of impersonators. Preachers are supposed to be men of truth and supposed to possess a desire to help people. Yet they lead people astray, making foolish statements like hell is a state of mind. Hell is on this earth. Or hell is just not a place of literal fire. Sad, 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 sad day it was in America when America's pastor, Billy Graham, denied that hell was a place of fire, literal fire. It's a foolish statement. It goes against the plain statements of Jesus Christ. It was far more than a state of mind to this man. It was far different from his life on earth. And it was literal fire. And this is not the only place where Jesus described hell as a place of fire. Physical torment. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus was preaching to a group of people. And not once, not twice, not three times, but six times, Jesus said to those people, hell is a place of fire that will not be quenched. It won't be put out. Hell is a place of physical torment. Physical torment. Now, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe some man? Or are you going to believe who is human and has a sin nature and can be wrong? Or are you going to believe the divine, truthful, pure, innocent, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who spent time on this earth telling people, hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place where people are tormented physically. And it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. tormented physically. That's an awful torment, isn't it? You know, we get a back ailment. And I'm not making light of back ailments. We get problems. I'm not making light of problems physically. Most of the time we can go to the doctor, the hospital, and at least get the thing where we can live with it. Hell is no, there's no comfort in hell. Foolish people make dumb statements about hell. Remember some years ago when I was trying to, there was an elderly lady here in the church when I first came, and I won't call her name because I don't unduly embarrass people. And she was saved, and I would go to visit her out in her little place, had a little apartment where she lived in the basement of her grandson's home out there off of Highway 17. And I always witnessed to him. His name was Alan. Alan, won't you get saved? Alan, won't you get saved? You need to get saved. She would witness to him. He laughed it off. I remember when that lady died and we had her funeral and we had the visitation for a couple of hours. Then we had an hour break and we had the service. And that grandson was there, and it was he and I alone in the funeral home between the viewing and the service. And I said, Alan, don't you think it's time to get saved? He looked me in the eyeball and he said, Pastor, when I die, I'm going to go to hell and have a party with all my friends. I said, and Alan, you just showed how ignorant you are about hell. You said, that's a strong way to talk to somebody. Folks, why not tell them the truth rather than just let him go on in ignorance, die and go to a place where the Bible says it's full of physical torment. There are no parties in hell. You sense a party attitude here? You sense a party spirit in this verse? Do you sense a happy old time? Here is a man in physical torment. Send the beggar to dip his fingertip in water because my tongue is tormented. Physical torment. But that's not the only kind of torment in hell. I want you to see the number two. He was tormented emotionally. He was tormented emotionally. Look at verse number 27 here. Look at his conversation with Abraham as he looked across that great gulf. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, talking to Abraham, that thou wouldest send him, that's Lazarus, the beggar, to my father's house. Why would he want Lazarus to go to his dad's house? Look at what it is. For I have five brethren. I have five blood brothers. Please let Lazarus go to that house, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. This rich man was tormented emotionally. He said, Abraham, please, I have five brothers. I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Please send Lazarus to them, Abraham, so he can warn them and tell them about this awful place. You understand how badly he wanted his brothers to go to the other place? Do you understand how badly he wanted? Send Lazarus back from the dead. Folks, I don't think I'm reading anything into this passage. I don't think I'm doing it an injustice to say that in hell, this man cared. In hell, this man was moved. In hell, he was concerned. In hell, he had compassion. In hell, while he is burning and tormenting in the flame, he had compassion. He was moved. He was concerned. He cared. I've got five brothers. I don't want them to come to this place. Emotionally, he was tormented. I've often said it would do God's people some good if somehow we could be escorted to the brink of hell and God would take the lid off of it and let us just look down in there for a matter of seconds. Maybe a matter of seconds, just a look into here what hell is really like. The screaming from the physical torment, but not just that. The emotional torment of the folks that are burning in hell. I'm telling you, friends, some of God's people have no compassion. Some of God's people have no concern. Some of God's people have no care. There is no moving of your bowels. And I'm not talking about sickness. I'm talking about an emotion. An emotion that moves your intestines, your stomach. You know what I'm talking about? Sure you do. You've all been moved. What moves us? Hell should move us. The thought of people dying and going there and spending an eternity in that awful place falling and burning and screaming in physical torment and in emotional torment. That's why I don't believe it's bad for us to have a special day and say to all of us, folks, let's get some people here. Let's go after folks who are unsaved. Let's invite them to church. Take them to feed them a hamburger or buy them a meal or do something, but get somebody to church, because people that die without Christ are going to spend an eternity in an awful place called hell apart from their wives. Can you imagine a man being married and having a child, and the child and the mom go to heaven and the man goes to hell? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the emotional torment of that? Can you imagine a man and his children in heaven and a wife and mother in hell? Can you imagine the emotional torment of that? This man had compassion, concern, care for his brothers, that they would hear the truth. Abraham, send Lazarus to my brothers so they could know the truth. Get the truth to my brothers. I want them to know the truth. And you know what preachers like myself and other preachers who preach on hell occasionally are called? We're called uncompassionate. We're called fear-mongers. Trying to grip the congregation with emotions and feelings. Let me tell you something, friend. Better you get gripped with emotions and feelings while you have time to trust Christ than to die and go to a devil's hell where you will spend eternity with emotions. Oh my goodness, I wish I wasn't here, and I don't want my dad to come here, and I don't want my mom to come here, and I don't want my brothers to come here, and I don't want my children to come here. I don't want anybody to come here. Slick Satan is. He deceives. He confuses people. Compassion moves people to tell the truth. I get so sick. I'm sorry. I get so sick of going to denominational funerals, hearing somebody pose as a minister and stand up in front of people whose hearts are broken and who need help, and deny that there is a hell, and deny that God would send any. How would God ever send anybody to that place? God is a God of love. God would never send anybody to a place called hell. It makes me sick. If it weren't for just protocol and decency, I would stand up and say, liar! Liar! That's why at funeral services, we take the time to give the gospel and tell the truth. You can't do anything for the person who's already passed on. Their time to make a decision for Christ has passed. But there are people sitting in pews whose hearts are tender, and they need to give their heart to Christ. And truth and compassion and concern and care moves us to tell them the truth. This man is tormented emotionally. Abraham, and by the way, Abraham could not fulfill his request. In fact, you know what Abraham told him? He said, well, sir, he said, first of all, there's a great gulf fixed. We can't come to where you are, and you can't come to where we are. And then he said, number two, they've got the Word of God. Now listen to what he said. He said, if they won't hear the Word of God, they won't hear if one comes back from the dead. I don't believe that, man. If somebody came back from the dead and smelt like sulfur and was on fire and had the smoke of fire coming off their body, don't tell me that we wouldn't believe him. I'm telling you, Jesus said, if people's hearts won't receive the plain word of God, they won't receive the testimony of somebody that comes back from the dead. How do you reckon this man feels now? Oh, no. I know how my brothers feel about the Bible. I know how my brothers feel about the Old Testament law. I know how my brothers feel about preachers. I know how my brothers feel about the Jews. I know all that. Emotionally tormented. It's horrible. A place of being tormented physically. A place of man being tormented emotionally. But that's not the end. In verse number 25, we learn that he was tormented mentally. Verse number 25 says, and Abraham said, son, remember. Ah! Remember. Yeah, remember. Remember all those times you walked out of that mansion, that palace, and you saw that poor beggar laying there. Remember all those times? Remember those times that Lazarus tried to get your attention? You thought he wanted a piece of bread. He didn't want a piece of bread. He wanted to tell you about salvation. Remember all those things? Remember, son, and by the way, friend, this is mental torment. Remembering that through his life, he had opportunities and opportunities and opportunities to trust Christ. He missed them. He wasted them. How many times could I have trusted Christ? How many times did I laugh it off? How many times did I harden my heart? He's tormented mentally. All through the ages to come in hell, he has to remember and remember and remember and remember and remember and remember. I wonder. If there's someone in hell this morning living with a memory eternally of a piano and an organ in a church service playing the song, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee." I wonder if that song plays through the memory of somebody in hell. I wonder if the place in hell, the place of hell this morning, there'd be somebody there mentally in torment this morning because they could hear a preacher's voice saying something like, "Jesus died on the cross so you wouldn't have to die and go to hell." The cross is a place of mercy and peace and pardon and grace. Come trust the Savior and be saved. I wonder if that's going through their mind this morning. I wonder if in hell this morning somebody is falling and burning in that pit. And in their mind they hear this morning the voice of a pastor saying, "Come, come to Christ. Come to the nearest aisle. Come down here and shake the man's hand. Tell him that you need to be saved. Please, won't you come? Don't leave lost this morning. Don't leave unsaved. Don't leave without Christ." I wonder if that memory is tormenting somebody. I might have told recently the story about when Sue Wilkins was in church here, and a friend of hers living over in Indiana came to visit a couple times, and we were meeting in the gymnasium for church in those days. And I preached that morning on the subject of salvation. And she hadn't been here for several months. And I looked out there and Sue was sitting with her friend from Indiana. Actually, the friend actually lived in this area before she moved to Indiana. She'd been our services many times. Never did raise her hand for salvation. That morning she sat back there with Sue. And I think she raised her hand for salvation, but she didn't come. And I remember telling the story about a missionary. He had just been at our church. He told how he got saved. The pastor extended the invitation by one verse. He said, "We're going to have one more verse of this invitation song. Could this be your verse?" And that missionary said, "I finally gave in, lowered my pride, walked forward, and got saved." He told that in this church. I told that story. And I said, "We're going to extend the invitation by one more verse. Is this your verse? Is this your verse?" The lady started to play. I kept my eyes open. I watched her. She didn't move. Standing right on the end. She didn't move. She didn't move. She didn't move. My heart was saddened. I held my hand out to stop the music. I started to pray, "Dear Heavenly Father," and I heard click, 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 click. She had those high heels on, that concrete floor. I looked up, and she was coming down the aisle. She got saved. She got baptized. She got in church over in Indiana too. I thank God for that. But I wonder how many have sat in these services and heard me say, "Come to Christ. Come to Christ." Left unsaved. And if they don't get saved before they leave this world, in hell they will live with the mental torment of a pastor's voice saying, "Come trust Christ. Come trust Christ." and over and over and over and over and over, the wheel turns. Folks, listen very carefully this morning. This rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. The poor man didn't go to heaven because he was poor. The rich man went to hell because he didn't receive Christ as Savior. And the poor man went to heaven because he did. We don't set up the songs here to coordinate with the messages. But I'm going to tell you something. When that good brother down there stood up here just a few moments ago and they began to play the first few chords of 10,000 Angels, I almost came out of my seat and said, "Thank you, God. That's why he died. That's why he didn't pray for mercy, so you and I could have mercy. He died so you and I wouldn't have to. He suffered hell for us so that we wouldn't have to suffer hell for eternity, friend. And he could have called 10,000 angels. That was his testimony. I could call 12 legions of angels, and I believe those angels were on the very precipice of heaven just waiting to come to the rescue of the Son of God. But he chose not to call for their help. He suffered, bled, and died so that you and I wouldn't have to go to that awful place called hell." Huh? He died alone. So we wouldn't have to go to the place of physical, emotional, and mental torment. Did you ever get into a situation that was messy? And you thought to yourself the whole time, the worst part, you know, you got to deal with the mess. That's bad enough. But the worst part of it is you're kicking yourself because you're saying, "I didn't have to be here. I didn't have to be in this mess. I got myself in this mess." And I can imagine, friend, how awful it'll be in that place someday when people realize, "I don't have. I didn't have to come here. I had my chance." Huh? Can you see why it's torment? It's torment. It's torment physically. It's torment emotionally. It's torment mentally. I beg you this morning, church member or visitor, well-dressed or poorly dressed, educated or uneducated, I beg you, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. Everybody gets saved the same way by coming to Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I beg you, if you're not saved this morning, you please, please, please hear me. I preach this message on the torments of hell for you. I don't want you to spend an eternity in that awful place. Amen. Jesus died to make it possible for you not to go there. That's all right. The devil doesn't surprise me. Did you lose your attention? Huh? The torments of hell. Only a preacher who loves people would be honest enough to tell you the truth. I care not what you think of me. I shouldn't say that. I want you to lie. Of course, you know what I mean. I'd rather tell you the truth and have you get mad at me and die and go to a devil's hell and be tormented forever and ever and ever. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. Would you please listen carefully for the next few minutes? Just ask you a few questions here. "Pastor Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I would go to heaven. I don't doubt that. I know that I'm saved. And you don't mind having a testimony about it. You're glad to testify that you're saved. Would you raise your hand this morning? You know that you're saved. Saved from that awful place called hell. I would not lie about it, folks. Please be honest. Thank you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Who's here this morning, Pastor Angel? I am not sure that I'm saved. I certainly do not want to die and go to that awful place of torment. And today, I want you to pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Would you do that, please?
I beg you, let me pray for you this morning in the closing prayer here. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that side to side, front to back? I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Not sure that I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Boy or girl, man or woman, member or visitor. Not sure that I'm saved. Who's here today, Pastor? I've been saved, not baptized in deep water since I've been saved. I'm here to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, or I need to be baptized. Would you raise your hand, please? Anybody like that here today? All right, very good. We'll start getting things ready to baptize right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody else? I didn't come to get baptized, but I need to know about that because I never have been. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody like that this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. All right, very good. Who's here, Pastor? I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven. I've taken that first step of obedience and been baptized. But the truth of the matter is, it's been a long time since I've been moved, had any compassion, concern, care for people who are on their way to hell. I need God to do something in my heart. I need God to do something in my heart. Pray for me. I don't want to live a cold, unconcerned life. God spoke to me this morning. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the room? Would you do that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Thank you so much. Now, church member, you know, it's not a difficult thing just to this week, the next 6 days. Look around you at work. Look around your neighborhood. Think a little bit about somebody who's without Christ. Invite them to come and be saved. Or come to church next Sunday so they can hear the gospel and be saved. Compassion will move you to do that. Ask God to give you that this week. Ask God to move your heart about somebody. Let's work hard at having a great day next Sunday. If you're not sure that you're saved, you didn't raise your hand this morning, in just a minute we're going to give an invitation after I pray. Brother Caleb is standing here at the front. This is our invitation. You come this morning. Brother Caleb will have somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Show you from God's Word what it means to become a Christian. If you need to be baptized, you didn't come, you come. If you need to come pray this morning for God to do something in your heart and cast a little compassion in your soul, then you come. May God work in our midst this morning. Our Father, I thank you for your word. Dear God, I pray that you'll bless the message to the hearers this morning. Lord, if there's one person in our midst today who is unsaved without Christ, I pray that this might be the day they give their heart to the Lord. Father, I preached the message and prayed, given the invitation, but your Spirit must draw men to you. So I pray that the Spirit of God will do that this morning. Don't let anybody leave here lost today. Then, dear Father, I pray that you'll please bless these that raised a hand this morning and said, I need some compassion. I need God to work in my heart. Lord, may we all have somebody on our mind, in our hearts, these next several days to invite here next Sunday. God, do a great work in our midst. And I'll thank you for it. Father, most of all this morning, I thank you for Jesus, who died on that cross so we wouldn't have to die in hell. Draw people to Christ this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. While they're playing, would you step out and come? This is that invitation time. You raised your hand to pray. Maybe you're not saved. You should have raised my hand and said, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Now's the time to come. We have men to speak to the ladies. We have men to speak to the men. We have ladies to speak to the ladies. We can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you come this morning, please? Let the Spirit of God work in your heart. Would you do that? While we wait. That's right. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Would you come? Would you come? While we wait. Come and join these others. You need to be baptized. Now's the time to come and follow the Lord and believers in baptism. Stayed on that cross and didn't come down with 10,000 angels so that you and I could be spared that awful place called heaven. And all those torments, physical, emotional, mental, torments of heaven. Thank God for His grace.